chapter 1 this morning, if you would, the book of Matthew, chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you can find one there in the pew in front of you and be able to reference the verses as we go along this morning. Matthew, chapter 1 is where we are. If you've noticed, some of the bus workers and some of the helpers on the bus routes have different socks and sweaters on today. I don't know if it was ugly sock or ugly sweater day. I'm not sure exactly which it was. I heard someone got complimented in the back, congratulating them for winning the ugly sweater contest, and they said, "I'm not participating in that contest." So, no, how that worked out for them. Matthew chapter 1. We've been looking at Christmas treasures and the true meaning of Christmas, and that'll hopefully prompt us to observe Christmas in an appropriate fashion. And it seems like a lot in the world want to just take a quick glimpse at the manger scene and think that they've celebrated Christmas. But if you're saved, or the child of God, we realize that there is a true and living God, and He knows all things, and He can do all things, and Jesus, God's own Son, is certainly the meaning of Christmas. He's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. I think Christians ought to celebrate Christmas. I don't think the world ought to have that as a holiday. I think it belongs to Christians. It's a Christian celebration, if you will. And it gives us a purpose for living the Christian life. And I said to you last week that we find treasures in the examples of those who were living in that day. Those who were present. Those who we would say maybe are personally a part of the Christmas story. And those who maybe had hands and feet as a part of what was happening. And last week we looked at the fate of Mary and how with great grace and with great humility she responded to God's call for her life. This morning I want to look at Joseph. I want to look at the faith that Joseph had. I suppose that's the title of the message this morning, just simply the faith of Joseph. And I want to share with you a couple thoughts about that. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to do that. We'll begin reading in verse 18. We'll finish out Matthew chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be spoken, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, thank you for the opportunity to rejoice today in what you have done for us. Thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you. Lord, I want to pray that you'll take the Word of God and make it personal and helpful to us today. Help us to be alert, Lord, to be not just hearers but doers of the Word. I pray that in these moments the Holy Spirit would be welcomed, would be present, and would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As you well know, there are four separate gospel records. Of those four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew and Luke give to us the most extensive storyline on the birth of Christ. In fact, some would even debate whether Mark and John even reference that, but there's some understanding as we go into those gospels. And Matthew presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Jews, and as we read just a moment ago, the one who is the promised Messiah. It's a beautiful story. I don't know about you, but I never tire of hearing the Christmas story. I love the season. I love being able to come to these passages of Scripture and just be reminded of what we know, and then also gather some thoughts of application from these individuals that are found here. There's nothing in the world quite like the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see it again this morning. We referenced it last week. No one has ever been born on this earth like Jesus was born. No other birth has ever taken place before or after and since that time. And as we read about Mary and Joseph, and as you start to scan through the Scriptures, you begin to understand, or you begin to notice that the Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail about Mary and Joseph. You ever notice that? We know a little bit about their lineage, and you can read some of that in the earlier part of Matthew chapter 1. We can dig around some about their families, but the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about who they are, doesn't give us much about their background, or give us a lot of detail concerning who they are. I think one of the reasons for that is the emphasis in Scripture is not on Mary, and it's not on Joseph. The emphasis in Scripture is on the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's who the story is supposed to be about anyways. And we find just enough about Mary and Joseph that God wants us to know about them. We looked at Mary, how that she was that virgin that God chose to bring forth His Son. She was greatly admired by because of that. Or I suppose that more so in our day as we open the Scripture, and there's admiration for the fact of God choosing her as that blessed lady. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, Mary was a fallen creature just like you and I are fallen creatures. Mary was a sinner just like you and I are sinners. Mary needed a Savior just like you and I need a Savior. Mary's not to be worshipped. Mary's not to be idolized. Mary's not to be bowed down to. She's not to be made a symbol of Christianity. She was a sinner just like we're sinners. Incidentally, there are some cultist groups who in some parts of the world want to make an idol out of Joseph as well. But Joseph is not to be worshipped either. Joseph was also a sinful man. Joseph was also one who, just like me and you, needed a Savior so that he would have an eternity in heaven. And when we read of Joseph in this passage, even though he is a sinful creature, and even though he is a lot like you and I, the truth of the matter is, what we learn from Matthew chapter 1 is, Joseph was a man of great faith. Now, I want us to maybe learn a couple things from his example of his faith. Can I share with you three very, very simple thoughts this morning? Number one, I want you to notice that his faith was required. His faith was required. Here's a statement. Joseph couldn't have made it without faith. Now, I know that's pretty straightforward and it's pretty simple, but Joseph couldn't have endured what we just read a moment ago unless he believed in God. You see, the Bible tells us that we're in the midst of that betrothal stage with Mary and Joseph. During that time, in Bible times, a couple was treated as if they were married. However, there's not been the covenant entered into, and there certainly has not been the consummation of that marriage. And Mary has been told, or she has gotten word to Joseph, that she is going to have a baby. Well, I don't know about you, but if we're reading this from a common sense standpoint, that doesn't add up. If I were Joseph, perhaps he would say, I can hardly believe my ears. After all, how would a lady who has character like Mary, how would she have that kind of a confession to give to me? How would somebody like Mary now be in this position where she is with child? I want you to notice in verse number 18, the Bible specifically states it was before they came together. That's on purpose. We understand that and we know that. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't ever let anyone take away from you the doctrine of the virgin birth. Please hang on to that. Please protect it. Please believe the Bible when the Bible says that Mary was a virgin without interaction with mankind before her and Joseph came together. Were engaged, betrothed to someone, you would expect them to be loyal. You'd expect them to be pure. You'd expect them to be honest. The list goes on. By the way, those are good even if those are good if you're already married. But you'd expect that. And no doubt Joseph trusted Mary. No doubt Joseph believed in that. And during this period of marriage, before marriage, Joseph was being faithful to her. The Bible never gives any indication that Joseph was, if I can use the terminology, running around and sleeping around behind Mary's back. Joseph was indeed faithful. And Joseph was indeed pure. And Joseph has kept himself for Mary. And now he gets word that Mary's with child. The Bible tells us in verse number 18 that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Imagine Mary coming to Joseph and saying, "I'm having a baby." How would you feel about that? Joseph, everything is going to be fine. I'm still a virgin. How would you believe that? I mean, sometimes we understand that, and if you've been raised in church for any length of time, you know the Christmas story, and we understand that she is with child of the Holy Ghost. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes for a moment, would you? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes in verse number 18 and verse number 19. And here's Joseph who is now hearing for the first time whether Mary visited him in person or whether word was sent to him. He is hearing that an angel has come, and an angel has said to Mary that she is with child. And I just believe that in this particular incident, that Mary may have already begun to be showing some signs of that, or perhaps there's already indication that she is with child. And Mary says to him, "Don't worry, Joseph. It's supernatural. Don't worry, Joseph. I haven't been with a man." Would you believe it? Could you believe it? You know what Joseph did know in chapter 1, verse number 18? He wasn't the father. He knew that. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this child wasn't his. In fact, I would say that he also knew in chapter 1, verse number 18, this is a pretty far-fetched story. Do you understand that in Matthew chapter 1, there is no writing, there is no New Testament about a virgin birth yet. It's not in the history books anywhere. There's not any place where he could turn back and say, "Yeah, I remember when that happened back in this year." It's not written anywhere. I mean, this is a story that's kind of out there. And if you're Joseph and you're Mary and you're seated in that room, maybe Joseph is scratching his head and he's thinking, "Seriously, Mary? You couldn't come up with something a little different than that?" And I know some of you who are critics are going to say, "Well, preacher, I don't think Joseph thought that because Joseph was so just and holy and wise." And that may be true, but can I just tell you what it looked like in their day? Can I just tell you what may have gone through Joseph's mind? Say, how you know that? Because Joseph is human, just like you and I are human. Joseph had to deal with his flesh and crucify his flesh. The Bible tells us that Joseph had a good reputation. We have to do something to save his name. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. The Bible says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man." This is the first reference to Joseph being a person of faith. Anytime you find a first in the Bible, it's an indicator for us to stop and learn from it. This is the first reference and realization that Joseph has placed his faith in God. He has believed in the promise of God. He has somewhere along the way in his heritage learned the things of the law. He's learned of the God of his forefathers. He has believed that, and he has become just by his faith. When I was 5 years old, my mom took the Bible, and she opened it up, and she shared with me how that Jesus died for my sins. She told me that I was a sinner. I've been pretty mad at her ever since then. She showed me how that the Bible says that all are sinners, and that all need to come to salvation. And she explained to me that God would forgive my sin and that God had sent His Son Jesus who died on the cross. And because Jesus died on the cross and He was buried and He rose again, that He got victory over sin. And if I would believe in Jesus and believe that He would forgive my sin and ask Him to come into my heart and save me, then Jesus would give me eternal life. So at 5 years old, you know what I did? I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I asked Him to be my Savior. And the Bible tells me that I was born again. I became a child of God. Joseph believed in God, and as we know from the Old Testament, the Bible tells us it was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith would be required. Because you're not going to get through verse 20 without some measure of faith. You're not going to make it unless you believe, are you listening, that there is someone who is bigger than me and you that has plans that we can't see. It's not optional. It's required. And Joseph would want to do the right thing. Well, I believe if the Bible tells us anything in verse number 19 about Joseph being a just man, Joseph would want to do the right thing and he would want to abide by the law. Are we okay with that? What that would mean is Joseph knew what the law said about fornication and adultery. Joseph knew what the law said about those who were unfaithful to their partners. Joseph knew all of that, and he understood what those things would mean. And all of those character traits would lead Joseph to a decision. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, the end of verse number 19, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Joseph is musing about what to do, and he simply could not keep company with somebody like Mary anymore. He loved her, but something's not right. He loved her, but it just didn't add up. He loved her, but he couldn't quite put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And Joseph would want to abide by the law. And he would want to believe Mary, but yet he would want to believe what makes common sense. And he just couldn't explain it. While he pondered over all of that, what would you do? Let me tell you right now, I'd call Morgan and Morgan preacher. I'd call somebody. I love her. But I got to do what the law says. I love Mary. But the law says you got to put her away. That's what the law commanded. And so Joseph decides, being a just man, that he would do it privately. I wish I had time to spend quite a bit of time here, but it's amazing to me that how that in divorce courts today and how that in relationships, husbands and wives get into the business of airing each other's weaknesses and flaws and get into the business of putting someone down and make someone to feel as if they're insufficient or want to make them look good while the other one looks bad. Why don't you learn something from Joseph? Some things you ought to just keep private. Joseph had enough common sense and enough human decency to say, I want to do what the law says and what God has said, but I've got enough common sense that I don't want to hurt Mary in the process. So I'll do so privately and during all this heartbreaking emotion. I mean, his mind is exploding. And the Bible says he pillows his head to rest from his concerns. And he had a dream. Look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can we pause right there in verse number 20? I think that in Joseph's sleep and in that dream, Joseph went, whew. In fact, he might have even rose up from bed and said, hallelujah! Sure glad to hear that. Now, can you imagine being Joseph and having all of that on your mind, and the angel comes and the Lord comes and says, Joseph, I tell you what you need to do. You go ahead with what you're doing and you go ahead and receive Mary, because after all, this is God's plan, and God has chosen Mary that he would use her as a vessel to bring his son into the world. And do you know what Joseph did when he heard this? Notice, would you, let's just look at it in the scripture. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden. Hey, can I ask you? Joseph got up from that rest and that sleep and said, I just can't handle this. I'm putting her away regardless. I'm not going to have that attached to me the rest of my life. I'll find someone else. I didn't ask for this. A whole lot more than I've bargained for. You know what's wonderful about Joseph is Joseph did exactly what God told him to do. You don't think that took faith? You don't think that took a great measure of trusting in how this, God, how's this all going to work out? How are we going to tell our parents? Talk about faith. It ain't optional. Joseph's faith was required. He believed it. And unlike any other birth that has ever happened in the history of mankind, Joseph rested in the fact, that's what God said. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just pause and can I just say, there's going to be some places in your life where you don't understand it, you don't know the answers to all of it, you can't plan it all out on paper, but that's what God said. And your faith won't be optional, it'll be required. Joseph knew the law, and he would know also the promise that has been given here. And we read it a moment ago, how that through the prophet Isaiah, there was a promise given that a virgin would come and she would conceive. And Joseph would need faith to believe that promise. Joseph would need faith if he was going to get through all of this. I mean, how in the world can a man with such a broken heart, how can you deal with all of that? How can you have your relationship seemingly crumble right before your very eyes and still move forward with all kinds of disappointment? You better have faith in someone bigger and greater than you. May I tell you that your circumstances are not going to be the same as Joseph and Mary's. You're not going to have the same relational details that happen like we read about in this passage of Scripture. But I want to tell you that you're going to have times when your heart is broken, and you're going to have times where you don't understand, and you're going to have times where there's things that you can't fully explain and you can't wrap your mind around, and you don't know what's going to happen next and how it's all going to work out. But you must believe that there is a God, and God has a plan, and God has a will, and come like Joseph and say, God, whatever you want, I'll just trust you. Joseph was able to do that. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some things and you're not sure how you're going to handle it. You're not sure how you're going to move forward. You don't know how you're going to live another year. Well, maybe we could learn from Joseph by faith. Joseph's faith was required. To make it through what he was dealing with, he had to put faith in God. But I want you to notice number two. Not only was his faith required, but number two, his faith was reproached. His faith was reproached. Now it's interesting, you don't find a chapter and verse that says, and Joseph was reproached. The word reproach means to mock or to ridicule. You're going to find a verse in the Bible that says that they laughed. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, when Joseph told people about Mary, put yourself in his shoes for a moment. They would laugh. Can you imagine Joseph having his friends over to play PlayStation one night after he's heard this? That in and of itself would be hard to imagine. And he says, oh, guys, I got to tell you something. You know, Mary, we're getting married. She's already pregnant. Imagine Joseph's Facebook announcement. What would you think? Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not yours? Seriously? By the way, Joseph and Mary lived in a day when purity was important in their culture, and it wasn't socially acceptable to sleep around and have multiple partners, and so they would naturally assume that it was Joseph's child anyway. In today's world, we'd have no idea that was free. So that in and of itself would be hard enough. let's just tack on the rest of the story, shall we? What if Joseph says, by the way, it's God's son. I mean, it's hard enough to believe that she's going to have a baby and it's not Joseph's, but you add to that the fact that, furthermore, the baby belongs to God. Now, you and I can read this if we get it because we've been reading it all of our life. What do you think people responded to Joseph with? Dude, you had too much Mountain Dew, man. They would laugh at him. They would mock him. They would scorn him. They would perhaps think, Joseph, I don't know what's gotten into you. You need to wake up and smell the roses. Joseph, look around and figure out. Mary's hiding something from you. Joseph, this just doesn't make sense. Joseph and Mary lived under that cruel mocking and reproach for believing in God. And I don't think it changed just when Jesus got there. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus would live under that. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8. Would you do that? Look at John chapter 8 for a moment. And notice that it didn't stop with Joseph and Mary. It was with Jesus as well. John chapter 8, would you notice what happens in Jesus' life? Look at verse number 39. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, that this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. All right, now look this way, would you? What's happening is, Jesus has told them about life and eternal life and the law, and they've said, well, we are the children of Abraham. And so the Lord points out, well, then if you're the children of Abraham, then why don't you act like Abraham's children? Now watch how they turn that. This is not even the topic of conversation. But watch how, in verse number 41, they turn it. They said, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. You understand what just happened there? Jesus is telling them about the law and telling them about their heritage. And they look at Jesus and they say, now, we got the words. We don't know their tone of voice. We can't see the look on their face. We can't see the inflection in John chapter 8. But they lash out at him and they say, at least we're not born of fornication. I mean, we know who our father and mother are. Ain't nobody knows who your father is. That's not even the context. You don't think they lived under that? Think again. They lived under the mockery of the culture around them. And yet in Mary's heart, Mary knew what the angel had told her. In Joseph's heart, Joseph understood something that other people didn't know. Joseph had watched the process. He had seen the birth of Jesus. He understood what God had done. Joseph believed in God, and he trusted the promise that he would live with that. And regardless of all that he did that was right, he still had to deal with problematic people. You know, you can do everything right in your Christian life, and that doesn't mean that you won't still have some people who won't talk behind your back, who won't criticize you, who won't be difficult to get along with, and the list goes on. Joseph didn't have a royal lineage. Joseph didn't have a lot of wealth. Joseph didn't have fame. Joseph didn't have a list of accolades, but Joseph had something that those people didn't have. Joseph had Mary as his wife. Joseph had God as his heavenly father. Joseph had God's own son living in his house to raise as an earthly father. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, but, and if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Peter said, hey, if people laugh at you, if they mock you, if they don't understand it, if your family can't figure it out, if the people that you work with think you're crazy, then happy are ye, because they think it to be evil, but God causes it for him to be glorified. The world wants wants to ridicule you if you witness on the job. They want to laugh at you if you love God, if you go to church. They want to think you're strange if you want to live separated from the world around you. I want to say to you this morning, you need to know something in your heart that they do not know, and that's that God is real, and God is living inside of you, and He has changed your life if you've trusted in Him and you've been born again. Don't let the devil blind you to that. The devil wants to blind people from sin, wants us to stay comfortable where we are. The devil wants us to make this think that we're not going to die someday and just don't think about it. Just forget about meeting God. And they want to make God some warm, fuzzy character that is just wonderful and loving and not a God of holiness and a God of righteousness. But I'm here to remind you this morning that the very one that Joseph had in his home, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who said He's the only way. He's the one who would tell us that all men are sinners. He's the one who would say that unless we believe in His blood to wash us from our sins, you ain't going to heaven. That's the Christmas story. Isn't it funny how the world wants to keep Him in a manger so He's harmless? In fact, in some places, some of the most pagan and wicked companies aren't even offended by manger scenes. Matter to me what your opinion is about all of those things, but one of the reasons that they're not offended by that because it looks like just a harmless baby, but that baby in a manger scene is the one who the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. Oh, He's not just some baby in a manger scene. He is the Son of God. I don't know about you, but I admire Joseph that in spite of everything that was said about him, in spite of everything that was said about his wife, how'd you like people going around saying that your wife is a fornicator? How'd you like people going around talking about your wife behind her back when Jesus is 5 or 8 years old? If Jesus is a grown man in John chapter 8 and they're still saying it, you rest assured they're saying it about Joseph and Mary. Now, how'd you like people going around talking about your son that's in your home, Joseph, his earthly son? How'd you like people going around talking about him that way? I quite frankly admire Joseph with all that he endured with his reproach and his reputation. He stayed the course. Hey, can I remind you this morning that if you are a Christian and you are a Bible believer, you ought to be willing to bear whatever reproach necessary so that you can freely and boldly and openly and unashamedly be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. People can be cruel, can't they? You have unsaved family, they can be cruel. To the point that they may want you to even think, I just have had enough and I'm going to quit. But you better make up your mind that what you do is for the Lord and not for them. You better just go ahead and decide whether you're obeying God or whether you're obeying people. And in so doing, you can keep marching forward in difficult times. Joseph's faith was required. Joseph's faith was reproached. Number 3, and I'm finished. Joseph's faith was rewarded. It was rewarded. Can you imagine being the head of the household where Jesus grew up? Now, I am in the process of raising 4 boys. I cannot even come close to fathoming having a boy in my home that doesn't need a spanking. Just don't even know what that looks like. Now, maybe you raised a son like that never needed one, but I just can't even fathom that. Can you imagine being the head of the household where Jesus is growing up? I mean, what an honor to be so trusted by God that God would allow Jesus to grow up in your home. That's amazing to me. His faith was rewarded. Joseph was the husband to Mary. I mentioned this last week. Mary is certainly not to be idolized or worshipped, but you understand that there's no woman ever in the history of the world like Mary? That's a wonderful thing to go through life with someone who loves you. It's a wonderful thing to have a spouse, a partner who you can share in life. It's wonderful to have someone who loves you that also wants to please God. His faith was rewarded. God spoke to Joseph when they were under persecution and told him to flee from Herod. And Joseph took his family into Egypt. That's a reward from God. Joseph was a simple man just with a simple vocation. He was a carpenter, but God provided for every need that he had. His faith was rewarded. Joseph didn't have a lot of money. We know that because when he came to the temple, he brought just a meager offering. And yet, you'll never read any place in the Bible where Joseph and Mary went with want or where Joseph and Mary went without and they didn't have. God met every one of their needs because God was rewarding their faith. My friend, can I say to you, God has been good to you and God has allowed you to do what you do. God has entrusted you with many things. God has pleased to bless your life. I'm thinking just of my own life. God has allowed me to preach to 10 people. He's allowed me to preach to hundreds of people. I've preached to crowds of thousands of people. God's been good to me. Thanksgiving morning, I sat in the rocking chair with my Bible on my lap. Prayed and I wept. I thought about how good God's been to me. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't trade a life of faith for anything in the world. Because your faith's going to be rewarded. Joseph's faith was required, was reproached. Thank God it was rewarded. I think one day you see Joseph in heaven. Joseph, I believe, will tell us that the greatest joy and privilege any Christian has is to be a person that God uses and God blesses. Father, I pray that you remind us of these principles. Lord, I pray you take the passage of Scripture and help it to become real to us. Please don't let us make the mistake of just looking at Joseph's life and assuming that Joseph just had it easy. Help us to realize the faith it took for Joseph to walk with you. Lord, may we be burdened about that in our own lives.